Paul Meacham, Jr. It's been said that you can judge the character of a ship's captain just by the way a rope aboard that ship is coiled, or by the fact that it's left uncoiled. This is true because aboard a ship, a captain has tremendous authority and control. Because of this, very strict qualifications are observed in choosing captains. If a man was chosen to captain a ship who was not qualified, it would put all of the property under his control and all of the lives under his control at danger. There's a similar thing that we see in a spiritual world. For the Lord has appointed over his church elders, that an eldership would rule in a local congregation. Those men have authority in that congregation, authority that no one else has. Because of that, they need to be men who meet strict qualifications. That's our study today. Thank you for joining us today. As we turn our attention to God's Word, we welcome you to this Bible study and invite your attention to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. We know that there are people listening on all of the inhabited continents of this entire world, and we are thankful to God for this particular medium, the medium of radio, whereby we might reach out with the gospel of Christ. And we're certainly grateful that you are there, that you're interested in spiritual matters, and interested in your own soul. If you would read with me in Philippians 1 and verse 1, where it says that Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. However, I remember a Bible class that I was in a number of years ago where a man read this particular verse, and then for 6 months we studied the topic of the organization of the Lord's church. For in this one little verse we see the entire organizational structure of the Lord's church. We notice that the letter was addressed to the saints, and that saints and Christians are the same thing. It comes from a Greek word that means a holy thing, and these Christians in Philippi were holy. They had been washed and cleaned and sanctified by the blood of Christ. Therefore, they were holy. And God calls us to be holy as He is holy. And if we fail in that, then we will miss heaven. We also notice that He addressed the bishops that were among them. And we notice the Bible gives us three different terms that all apply to this one office of being a bishop. One of those is the word episkopos, and it means an overseer. It's the word we have translated bishop, one who supervises the activity of another. We also saw that the word presbyteros is used. It's one who is older, a senior member, and it's a word that we usually translate elder or presbyter. And then finally, a Greek word, poimen. It means to shepherd, to tend, to care for sheep, and it's a word that we usually translate pastor. So a pastor and an elder and a bishop are all three Bible terms that apply to one office. That's the office under consideration. We see all three of these used in the same context in 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 1, where Peter says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, who am also a fellow elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not willingly, or not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." So all three of these terms apply to that office of being an elder. And we notice that the elders do have authority. The authority is not in a single man, but within the eldership, as God has given it. They have authority only over the congregation that they are to serve, not congregations around them. And that their authority is limited in that they cannot supersede what God has said. Rather, where the Bible speaks on a matter, that settles it, and all must be submissive to that. However, their authority is not limited to their example. They do actually have the rule over the congregation. So in all matters where God has not specifically told us what to do, in all areas where it is left to our expediency to complete His command, they rule in those areas of expediency. And we as members of the Lord's church must submit. Now, in our opening remarks, we referred to the fact that a captain of a ship has tremendous power aboard that ship. And the eldership has tremendous power within a congregation. Power for good or power for bad, depending on what kind of men they are. But God has not left us to chance, because in the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1, Paul has very clearly explained to us the qualifications that a man must have in order to be an elder in the Lord's church. One who possesses these qualifications will serve well. One who does not cannot serve at all, for he simply is not qualified. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, we begin to notice these, and as we study them, we will notice that some of them are positive characteristics, telling us things that a man must be in order to be an elder. Others are negative characteristics, telling us things that a man must not be, because if he is those things, then he is not qualified. For our study, we have separated these two, and I'd like first to look at the positive elements, things that a man must be in order to be an elder. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, it says, "This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." In 1 Peter 5 and verse 2, we read that an elder must be one who serves not by compulsion, but willingly. So we see as one of the requirements that the man must desire. The Greek means he must still be seeking. He must be seeking after this particular office. And if he is not, then he's not qualified. No one should be pushed into this position of service. No one should be pushed into this very difficult job. A man must know what it requires of him and desire to do that work in the Lord's church. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, we continue the list by seeing that a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. That little list includes many things that we might spend a lifetime learning to understand and develop in our own lives. To be blameless means to give no ground for accusation, and that same qualification is reiterated in Titus 1, verses 6 and 7. To be the husband of one wife teaches us that an elder must be a man, that he must be a married man, and that he must be married only to one wife. No other combination is acceptable to God, the husband of one wife, as he also told Titus in Titus 1, verse 6. We're also learned that he must be a man who is temperate. In Titus 1 and verse 8, he says he must be one who is self-controlled. And when we study the negative characteristics of an elder, it will be very easy for us to see how many of those negative characteristics would come into a person's life by failing to control himself. If a man is self-controlled, most of those negative characteristics that will be mentioned next week would never occur in a man's life at all. So keep that in mind as we go on through this study. We're then told that he must be sober-minded. This means to be calm and dispassionate. Circumspect. Usually when we think of the word dispassionate, we think of it in a negative way. It means someone who doesn't have any passion or any feeling for something, and we think of that as something that is bad. But when it comes to making decisions, especially very difficult decisions, during very hectic times, God's elders must be people who can look at that and make a decision without allowing their emotions to carry them away. Most decisions that are made being carried away by emotions are not sound ones. Knowing that, God requires sober-mindedness, a calm and objective view before a person makes a decision. This is a very important trait, and we must keep it in mind when elders are chosen. It then says that they must be men who are of good behavior. In Titus 1 and in verse 8, it said he must be one who is a lover of that which is good and just and holy. This means that a person must genuinely love those things that are good. We will be of good behavior if we love doing things that are good. But if we love to do that which is evil, it'll be a very short period of time before our actions will follow and we will do what is evil. We're then told he must be one who is hospitable. This means that he has an open heart. He is easily one who reaches out to others, who invites them into his home, who cares for them when they need to be cared for, not one who closes himself off from others and keeps everyone at a distance. We also see that he must be a man who is able to teach. This has many different facets with it. In Titus, chapter 1 and verse 9, it said he must be one who holds fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. This means that it must be a man who has been taught himself, who has a knowledge of God's Word, and who exercises that knowledge in such a way that he can teach others what is right, that he can show those who contradict themselves and contradict the Scripture what the truth is. But then we're told in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 3 that he must be gentle. This is the same Greek word that's used in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. There it's translated into the English as forbearance. It means a sweet reasonableness, one who is moderate, one who is easy to work with, easy to talk with, and such must be true of an elder in the Lord's church. We then see in 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 and 5, that he is one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? It's interesting that Titus records in chapter 1 and verse 6, or rather Paul to Titus, that he must be one as having faithful children. So we see he must be one who rules his house, his children respecting him and in submission, and faithful to God. You see, a man must first demonstrate his ability to lead and teach and inspire the young to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord, to grow up into maturity and be faithful children of God. If he does not first demonstrate that ability, he is not qualified to help those in the Lord's church in that same growing process. Finally, in 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 7, we're told that he must have a good testimony among those who are outside. That's those who are without the church. Even those who would disagree with him on religious matters should see him with respect, know him to be an honest and faithful man, and should have a good report of him. These are very difficult qualifications to meet, but they can be met, they must be met, if one would serve the Lord as an elder in his church. And this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.